Welcome. Kathleen here. Thank you for joining me. This is titled Book Children, Children of the Book. Yesterday, as we were praying about Israel and Jerusalem, I saw the Lord Yeshua bent over and looking over the entire land with his hand on his chin, observing what was taking place. I saw him sit back in a relaxed fashion, and he was meditating on what he had seen. I saw two large hands over Jerusalem take a very dirty, filthy cloth and begin to wash it, scrub it. I then saw a flame of fire come on the garment, and it didn't consume it, but it was cleansing it. Then I saw a mantle in the spiritual realm. Father, I thank you and I praise you that you have made your ways known and revealed it to children and you have ordained praise out of the mouths of infants. Lord, I ask that you come with the mantle of instruction and guidance, that your Holy Spirit would lead and reveal your counsel in the name of Yeshua, our precious Savior, and for your glory, Father, that your name will be exalted. No one and man is without excuse before you. Thank you, God. Amen. As a result of this, I had actually been thinking about the next sequence to how I felt the Lord revealing to me Jacob's letters, which is on the teaching page, then Jacob's trouble, and then about Mount Zion. And this came out of that, those meditations. And the scripture I'm going to start with, that goes with the particular vision I got in prayer, was Isaiah 4:2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. It shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge and for a covert from storm and from rain. Now let's just break this down a little bit. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be fruitful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent. Who's the branch of the Lord? That's Yeshua. And there's a branch of the Lord, an extension of God, that is in the land, that is excellent and comely. And we also, if we abide in him and he abides in us, we shall bear much fruit. I would propose that this is the Lord's vineyard and that he is establishing his root and making it break forth into a branch. Many times when I've gone to Jerusalem and prayed, I've seen a devastated vineyard, a vineyard that has full of brambles and thorns and briars, and that is not producing any good fruit. But there is a day coming where the Lord shall produce beautiful and glorious and branch, and the fruit of the earth shall be comely. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion. Okay, so these are those that have escaped from Israel. So those who are left, that branch, are those who escaped of Israel. This is a particular subgroup of Israel. Okay, we have Israel and those that have escaped. And who are those that have escaped? Well, let's see. And it shall come to pass that he is left in Zion, those that are left, and he that remains in Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Okay, so this really is in this designated place of in Zion, in Jerusalem. Okay, so we have Israel, Zion, Jerusalem, the subset. Shall be called holy. Then even everyone that is written among the living of Jerusalem. Those who are left, those who are holy, will be the branch of the Lord. So it is a people. When will this happen? Those that are left after, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof. So here's that cloth. It's dirty. They have become a filthy cloth because of the filth of the daughters of Zion and the blood that has been spent. There's a lot of abortion and bloodshed and murder and vendettas. If you want to fight, go to Jerusalem. From the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. In other words, the Spirit is going to bring judgment in order to bring repentance and burning to bring cleansing. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. This indicates that there will be an actual, tangible, visible presence of the Lord on Mount Zion and her groups of people. Assemblies, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. Now, I'm not exactly sure about this phrase. My first reaction is that God is going to do this work. It's going to glorify him, and he is the defense. He doesn't need to make an answer to anyone. It's going to be evident by his manifestation of his glory. His glory is all his glory, it's who he is and the works that he does. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat. Tabernacle, a tent, whatever. And for a place of refuge and for a covert from storm and from rain. The Lord will be their protection. Well, this is going to happen on Mount Zion. And let's look at who and what that is. And there's a people, Israel, Mount Zion, Jerusalem. And it's definitely talking about a work of the Lord and a people, a group of people that will be left, that will be holy. Years ago, many, many years ago, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, I forget exactly, but it was quite a few years ago. I was in Shiloh, and the Spirit of the Lord came on me, where allegedly, although who can tell, the old synagogue that Eli and his sons were at and that Samuel was raised up in, the Spirit of the Lord came on me. It's just some stones, like in a square, so who knows what it was, you know. But allegedly, and I began to prophesy, that God was the holy God. And that he did not dwell in the midst of a profane people, nor a profane land. And this land would come back to his commands and his laws, and it would be made holy before he would come and dwell here. And Isaiah 4 also indicates the same thing, that the land is defiled with blood guiltiness, and God is going to do a work that will glorify him, and his presence will then begin to rest in that place. So let's look at Zion. This is just a definition from a Bible dictionary. It's sunny height, one of the eminences on which Jerusalem was built. It was surrounded on all sides except the north by deep valleys, that of the Tyropoeon. separating from Moriah, that's where the Temple Mount is, the Dome of the Rock, which it surpasses in height by 105 feet. It was the southeastern hill of Jerusalem. And there's a couple of other little hills there, Ophel and some others. It goes on to say, when David took it from the Jebusites, he built on it a citadel and a palace, and it became the city of David. In the later books of the Old Testament, this name was sometimes used to denote Jerusalem in general and sometimes God's chosen Israel. In the New Testament, see Zion, it is used sometimes to denote the Church of God in Hebrews and sometimes the heavenly city in Revelation. As it is cohesive, the Spirit of God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But there are multifaceted views of the same gem, or as I said to one friend, it's the rosebud is all tight, and it's when it opens into the fullness of the rose, it's still the same flower, but its appearance has opened up and expanded, and it's become matured. So this is the same doctrine from Genesis to Revelation is a principle. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But there is a fullness of exposition that's called the flowering of the understanding, the flowering of the teaching. Let's have a look now at Micah chapter 4. Micah 4:1, this is a famous passage. This is the passage that's on the plaza entry on the wall across the street from the United Nations in New York and in Yad Vashem. This is a particular scripture, verse 2 or 3, I'm sorry, in Micah 4. But in the last days, in the end of the age, in the end of the time, in the last days, in the latter time, that it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit, every man, under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of the host has spoken it. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, says the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I've afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fascinating? So the Lord says he's going to reign over Mount Zion in that day, and that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established in the mountains in Jerusalem, and many nations will come to this place to learn of the God of Jacob, and they will be taught, and the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, it won't go out from the Temple Mount, it won't go out from the Mount of Olives, but the Lord will establish his throne on Mount Zion, and that there will be a time of peace in this era, in this age, in the last days. And every person shall have his own property and his own land, his own place that he can rest and stay in. No slavery. And all people will walk in the name of this God forever and ever. And so God will drive out those that are broken and limp and those that are afflicted and driven away. And he will establish this in the last days. But before he does that, he's going to make this place holy because he is a holy God. And how is he going to do that? Well, as it said in Isaiah 4, through the spirit of judgment and burning, and if we continue the rest of Micah 4, it illustrates that. And thou, tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto you shall it come, even the first dominion. This kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Believe this is literally and physically. Now, why do you cry out aloud? Is there no king in you? Is your counselor perished? For pangs have taken hold as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now you shall go out of the city and shall dwell in the field and shall go to Babylon. There you shall be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. This particular prophecy has been fulfilled. Israel was taken captive into Babylon, and there God did a work for 70 years as a punishment, as a discipline to her before she came back to rebuild. Jerusalem was released by Cyrus, by his decrees. There's another regathering. There's been one in last century in 1948 when God gathered the nations, the Jews, his scattered people. They're his people whether you like it or not, whether they know the full revelation of God or not, whether they have a partial knowledge or a full knowledge or a, you know, three quarters of a knowledge. It's according to what the Holy Spirit has revealed to them. And they've been gathered back from the nations into the land. Now also many nations are gathered against thee and say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Here the Lord is talking about his harvesting process. In Isaiah 55, he elaborates on this more, that judgment comes against Israel and against the people of Israel because of their blood guiltiness, but the Lord has the process of gathering and disciplining them, threshing them, and beating them into pieces, and beating into pieces the many people that are coming against Israel. He's allowing this. There's such a hatred for the Jews, or the covenant people, it's not normal. It is a spiritual issue. It is a spiritual condition. So God's chosen is Israel. Israel and Jacob are people. Zion could be the children of Israel. But it is also a physical place and a physical land. Let's see in Genesis 32:27. When Jacob was wrestling with the angel, and he said to him, what is thy name? And he said, Yaakov. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Yaakov, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. That is to say that Israel is a prince, and there is a people, the people of Israel. Jeremiah 31:7. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I've watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Let's break this down a little bit. The Lord is saying that he will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So these are two distinct. These are the northern and the southern kingdoms that were divided after Solomon's reign. And he will sow them with men and animals. He will cause the land to prosper. And here in the verse 28, the Lord clearly states that he's the one that watches over his land. I have watched over them. I pluck them up, I break them down, I throw them down, I destroy and I afflict. All these things came from the hand of God as he's dealing with the land and the people in it. So will I watch over them to build and to plant, says the days, says the Lord. Now, verse 29. Jeremiah 31:29, and this is a proverb. In those days they shall say no more, and here's the proverb. The fathers have eaten sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Meaning that the sins of the fathers are visited to the children. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. You sin, you die. Every man that eats the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on the edge. So teeth set on your edge is probably a euphemism for, or a Hebraism for dying for sin. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers. And the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, this is Moses' covenant, Ten Commandments, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, this is an interest. In other words, this implies, even in the Old Testament, that the covenant, the law, was an external keeping, and that it was not a people, that they shall be God's people when he puts the law in their inward parts and writes it in their hearts. There's a shifting from outward external keeping of the covenant into an internal, meaning that the motives of the heart and the inward person will do it, will be enabled by the Spirit of God, and then they shall be my people. They shall be the people of the book. They shall be the children of the book. They shall be the children of God. And they won't have to teach each other how to know God. Because in your heart, you will be convicted. You're a Jew when you're circumcised. You're inwardly, your heart is circumcised. And they shall know me from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. Because God will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more. And that covenant has come, according to Romans, through Yeshua, the fulfillment of the sacrificial feast, their sins being forgiven because the perfect Lamb of God was slaughtered for their sins to whomsoever believes. Let's look at Zechariah 8, 1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus says the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain, thus says the Lord of hosts. Now, this the Lord is saying, he's jealous with great jealousy. He's, you know, the Lord, he said, he made a wedding covenant with her and Moses. That was a betrothal, ketubah. And as a husband is jealous, he's jealous for Zion. I'm returned into Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And he will call that place the city of truth. Who is that? That's us inwardly. When we inwardly keep that covenant of his laws and abiding in him. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. The holy mountain. But Israel, Romans 9, 31, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And on this rock, when Yeshua, this rock, okay, so they did not attain the law of righteousness, the external laws, because they didn't receive it by works of the law, but it's by faith. It's an inward. Faith is an inward believing and an assent in your inward parts and in your heart. But they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Is this a stone, a literal stone? Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He's laying in Zion a stumbling stone. No, whoever believes on him, him is a person. When Peter asked, and when Yeshua was up in near the gates of hell, at the base of Mount Hermon, he said to his disciples, and who do you say I am? Oh, well, some say you're Elijah the prophet and this and that. But who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And Peter said, well, you are the Messiah. You're the Christ. And he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven. And on this rock, who's the rock? Yeshua, not Peter. On this stumbling stone, on this rock of offense, and there's still offense. The cross is the rock of the Jesus, and his work is an offense to those who are perishing. He on him shall he, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Him, who's the rock? Zion, stumbling stone. Who's the cornerstone in Zion? Yeshua. Zion is God's people. Let's look at Psalm 51:16. As for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it, and thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Who Zion? The people of God. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Is it a literal place? It is. Is it an inward place of a broken and contrite heart? Yes, additionally. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. We will keep his laws inwardly with burnt offering and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon the altar. Now let's read Psalm 87:5. And out of Zion, okay, it shall be said, this and that man was born her, in her, and the highest himself shall be established in her. People will literally be born in this physical place, and the highest himself shall establish her. That means the Lord God Almighty. The Lord shall count when he writes up the people that this man was born there, Selah. So people will be born in Zion. And is Zion a people? Yes. And are you born again? You were born into the kingdom of heaven. Flesh and blood cannot enter in. What do you mean? You must be born again? You enter your mother's womb? No, you must at womb and be birthed again. No, you're born by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. And you were born into Zion. And yes, it's a people. And it's a literal physical place. And God will establish his people there. And his works. Romans 11:5. For I would not, brothers, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Don't be ignorant of this. This is a mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. What does that mean? Well, this is the way I look at it. We're looking for the second return of Yeshua, the Messiah. And most of the Jews who do have a love for God, who want God and righteousness, who pursue him, will, when we see him the second time, they'll recognize him for the first time as the one they've pierced, and a great wailing and mourning shall rise up as they're in Jerusalem for the one they have pierced. And so all of Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, Yaakov. How will we do it? Well, I think through affliction and through purging. God dealing with their iniquity, he'll move his hand to cause them to see their inability to keep the law, external or internal. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. But as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So God calls them, He's good God. He gives them good gifts. He gives them revelation. But they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Because God judges, what did he say? No more will we say about the fathers, right? That who have eaten sour grape, that their children's teeth are set on edge. But the father's teeth will be set on edge. Each man according. Each man according to his choice and decision and pursuit of God. Let's look at Ephesians 2:1. Wherefore, remember that you, being in time Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So he's talking about the Abrahamic covenant, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. What's the commonwealth? It's all of those who share in a certain system. And this system is Israel. And strangers from the covenants of promise. Now, Paul is talking to the Gentiles here, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, in Christ Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ forgives your iniquities as you receive him and repent. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. So making peace. So it's not about the flesh and the law. Okay? These giftings and callings become broken down by the blood of Christ at the cross. And he abolishes the enmity, the law of commandments, and makes us one. We become all the commonwealth of Israel. And that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy of that is the flesh warring against the things of the spirit thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were here nigh. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Through, and let me just say that. Who is this that we have access to by the Spirit to the Father? Through the door, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles of the New Testament and the prophets of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. in Zion. This is a description. This is the blueprint of the city of Zion, in whom all, or the place of Zion, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So this is the blueprint for Zion, the temple of the Lord God Most High. Well, let's look at Hebrews 12:22. But you are coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you not refuse him that speaks, for if they escape not who refuse him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This is, here we're having a further elucidation, enlightenment of what the it looks like in the city of the living God, this Mount Zion. 1 Peter 2:1, for to whom continue coming as unto a living stone, this is speaking, who's the living stone? Yeshua the Messiah, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also were lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Okay, here it is. We, the stones, are to line up with the chief cornerstone where the Lord has put us positionally in this spiritual house. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Oh, we've seen this scripture before in the Psalms. Even to him which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So they were appointed to be disobedient. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Ah! See, God has called us out of darkness into the light, and he's making us, polishing us. We were rough stones, and now he's perfecting us to put us where he wants us positionally, as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's names written in their foreheads. Revelation 14. And Revelation 21:10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates 12 angels, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the foundations were the apostles of the Lamb, the gates were the children of Israel, the stones are us, and we are that temple of the Lord. Zion, children of the book, yeah, the children of God. Let's look at Daniel 12, in process. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Who is written in the book? The children of God, those that God has ordained, those that are to be the temple, the chosen and royal priesthood, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and that they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So come to the city. Let us go up to Mount Zion. Let's go to that heavenly tabernacle, those lively, precious stones in Yeshua's name. Father, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we love your word. How the flowering of the understanding and the rich truths. Father, I know that in the heavenly place, Lord, the flowers sing. And Lord, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I thank you and I praise you. God bless you in Yeshua's name. Goodbye.